looking for an apartment sucks wherever you live. People in New York will say, oh, it's so hard to find an apartment here. It's hard to find an apartment anywhere. It stinks. You have your mandatories. You have the things that you won't compromise on. You have the things that you don't care about. Like, let's say, oh, dishwasher. I need a dishwasher. I need a dishwasher. I can't live without a dishwasher. I don't care if I don't have a washer and dryer. Some people feel the exact opposite. Some people don't need any amenities. Some people need an elevator. Some people don't.
That's so beautiful. We all need different things. And that's why Apartments.com has an app where you can literally use it to tell it what you need and what you don't need. And it tells you, oh, apartments. Here's some.
So instead of looking through every single rental listing you possibly can in the neighborhoods you want, you set and forget, like in that old rotisserie grill ad, you set and forget what you want, and Apartments.com will let you know when an apartment that matches what you want appears on the market.
From pet-friendly apartments to balconies to in-unit ACs, Apartments.com's powerful search tools let you know when the perfect combination of features you're seeking are listed. So you don't have to power through rental descriptions one by one. With more rental listings than anywhere else, Apartments.com's instant alerts mean you can spend less time online looking for the perfect place and more time doing you.
Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
You will dream it.
Famous. Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And this is Who's There, a weekly call-in show where we take your questions, comments, and concerns at 619-WHO-THEM. Here's our first comment.
Hi, Bobby, Lindsay. Had to pause the pod. All Kentucky Derby horses are 3 years old, but also all horses' birthdays are January 1st. So, like, they might not really be the same age. Like, even if they are all technically 3 years old because they all have the same birthday. I don't even know if this is interesting, but I had to share this information. I don't know why. Okay, crunch, crunch, team agree. Bye.
This is extremely interesting to me, right? Isn't it?
I know, but only this show can take a joke that you made about a horse being called the three-year-old and being like, actually.
All Kentucky Derby horses are 3 years old.
3 years old. Like, okay, then. Okay, great. No, it's interesting, I guess. I was actually with my friend Jamie yesterday, and I told them this, and they were like, my birthday's January 1st.
I know. They're my only friend with a January 1st birthday. So oh, well, congrats to Jamie.
Sam Biddle also has a January 1st birthday.
Oh, Sam has a January 1st birthday. I know two January 1st birthday babies, and I know at least one Kentucky Derby winner.
Who? Oh.
Shine Bright. What was... I already forgot their name.
Rich Burnt or whatever. What's... No. Lucky Strike. Rich Strike.
So Rich Strike, Jamie and Sam. Great. My Capricorn queens.
It's like New Year's babies smoking a cigar. All of them. Is that what the baby does on New Year's? I don't know.
I think it just poses.
I'm confusing like a baby of a newborn smoking a cigar or and like a cigar that you dad. Give to the dad of a newborn with the baby. Babies don't smoke cigars, I don't think, ever.
I don't think they should be smoking cigars. The rationale behind a Kentucky Derby contestant being precisely 3 years old, and by precisely, I mean precisely, they're all technically the same age because all thoroughbred horses are marked as being born on January 1st, even if they weren't.
So how are you supposed to know if your horse is like a Gemini or like an Aries?
They're all Capricorns.
Yeah, but that's so fucked.
This is from the Kentucky Derby website.
Yeah.
Who decided that all thoroughbreds would share a January 1st birthday? And then listen to this note that will take
the
you out.
The meanest man
Parentheses. Note. Applies to all Northern Hemisphere thoroughbreds. Southern Hemisphere thoroughbreds share a birth date of August 1st. Which isn't even 6 months later. So it's like, I thought maybe, oh, it'll be June 1st. No, it's August 1st. So I'm not even going to try to understand what that means. The British traditions were brought over from England with the colonists and continued on well after the Revolutionary War ended in 1783. One of those traditions was recognizing May Day as the birth date for thoroughbreds. May Day is May 1st, okay? But then at one point, the Jockey Club agreed that horses at their headquarters in Newmarket would share the birth date of January 1st instead of May 1st. Okay. And then eventually those Newmarket rules, in air quotes, were adopted everywhere.
Do you think the Hollywood Life writer who wrote like the three-year-old knew that all horses are three-year-olds?
No.
Okay.
This detail I did think was interesting because one website that I looked up earlier was like, the horses that race in the Kentucky Derby are 3 years old because horse racing is an extremely old sport that came here from Britain. And this is how they've been doing it for hundreds of years. So this is just why they do it. But the reasons why are actually sort of interesting. Two-year-old horses aren't quite good enough. And four-year-old horses are too good, where you know which four-year-old horses are good and which four-year-old horses are bad. Yeah. Three-year-old horses are in the sweet spot where it's good for gambling because it's just uncertain enough.
If you were to race toddlers, this would be like similar rules. Think about it. Well, like the four-year-olds will be too good and the two-year-olds won't be good enough. Mm-hmm. But the three-year-olds, you'd have to be like, well, it's only three-year-olds in this race around the track.
They're going to do a little bit of crawling, little bit of running, and they're all going to go about the same distance before getting tired.
And they're all going to just go to a different destination. That's really the issue we have with toddler racing, from my experience.
And they're all going
to
get ice cream after.
Not in my race. Okay, sorry.
That's
I was creating a narrative about a toddler race where I'm like the ringleader or something, and it's underground. It gets shut down immediately. It's, you know.
The things that Boss Baby has done to your brain. Oh, my God. An underground toddler racing ring.
All right. Well, let's move on here. A busy episode. We got to answer some questions, and then we got to talk about this year's Eurovision Spectacular. It is shaping up to be a fantastic year.
We're not there yet. We have to talk about Riley Keough.
Again.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. Long time. So I am calling in response to your coverage of like Austin Butler in the Elvis movie. And you bringing up Priscilla Presley, I was like, I have not thought about her in forever. So I was like, I need to like look at her face and info. So I went to her Wikipedia page. Is it common knowledge that Riley Keough is the granddaughter of Elvis and Priscilla Presley? I had no idea. And has she had, like, any part in the Elvis movie? Because she is, like, I wouldn't say a super prominent Hollywood figure, but, like, she books. She's around. So I'm curious if she's said anything about it or has any, like, connection to it. But this this got me. Okay. Thanks so much. Tim Tebow lesbian, me in Greece. Bye.
This is an incredibly good observation because what I was just thinking about, if Riley Keough wasn't asked to be in that movie or if she was and declined, the real question as to like what she thinks about all of this will be answered if she shows up to the premiere. Like they're going to do everything they can to get her on the red carpet because I feel like otherwise people might be like, oh, like she's not interested. But like her mom, her grandmother, like everyone is like on board. Maybe she kind of was like, I want nothing to do with this. And the reason being, she's done such a good job escaping being called Elvis's granddaughter in terms of like stuff that she has booked.
I know. I think Hollywood knows. I think the reason she has a career, no offense to her talent, I like Riley Keough a lot. I think the reason she has a career is because everyone who makes decisions in Hollywood knows that this woman is Elvis's granddaughter.
Right.
But I think Riley doesn't talk about it. And Keough is so anonymous. I know that Danny Keough was a musician, but like, I don't think about that guy. Like, even knowing that her last name is quietly famous because Lisa Marie Presley's ex-husband or ex-partner was this guy, Danny Keough. That's nothing compared to Austin Butler himself, Elvis Presley, you know?
I mean, she does look like the lineage. Like,
she does.
I would bet my life on Baz Luhrmann trying to get her in the movie in some capacity. I mean, it would be crazy if he didn't, you know? Mm-hmm. But she's busy in books. She stays A24's darling.
A24's number one girly.
She was in Honey Pie, Honey Girl, Honey Cake, American Honey. Love that movie. She did a really funny thing on her stories recently that I was kind of laughing at, which was this like filter that just did A24 movies, like which A24 movie are you? And she did it like a bunch of times, and each A24 movie that she had auditioned for, which was every single one, she was like, audition, didn't book it, audition, got to the final round, audition.
Didn't book
like,
it.
But it was funny because it was like all these movies where you realize she would have been perfect in all of them. Spring Breakers, Uncut Gems.
High Life, I believe.
She really does fit the mold.
She hasn't addressed the Baz Luhrmann Elvis, but the other women have. So Priscilla Presley is doing most of the talking for this movie.
They're like literally doing press for it already, you know?
She said that she's seen it. This quote is funny, and this quote from May 6th makes it clear that Riley has not seen this movie yet. She goes, wow. This is from Priscilla, quote, I've seen Elvis the film. It's very funny. I've seen Elvis the film. I watched the trailer over a dozen times. But the words I heard from my daughter, Lisa Marie Presley, on how much she loved the film and that Riley will love it too when she sees it, brought tears. So she's saying, I loved it, my daughter loved it, and I've been told that my granddaughter will inevitably love it when she watches it.
And what's so funny is I just searched Baz Luhrmann, Riley Keough, like together just to see like what I get. And the headlines that are using this quote as proof of this are Baz Luhrmann's Elvis debut's first clip earned seal of approval from daughter Lisa Marie, comma, granddaughter. Excuse me, it didn't earn Riley's approval.
Riley will love it too.
Riley will love it too. Riley will love it too. So every single quote is Riley will love it too.
To answer the question, is it common knowledge?
Yeah, it kind of is.
It kind of is, but it's easy to miss. Like, is that a good answer? It's common knowledge, but it's if you don't know, I'm not surprised. I feel like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth there, but maybe that makes sense.
Well, it's like you wouldn't know if you saw her just in a movie, I don't think. Mm-mm. But if you read any headline, I mean, every headline is Elvis's granddaughter, Elvis's granddaughter, Elvis's grand. Like, there's no, I don't think she's ever been written about without that being part of it. But if, I guess if you were just watching The Girlfriend Experience or whatever movie she's been in.
Logan Lucky, my favorite Riley Keough. You might
not know.
Did you see The Lodge? Oh my God. It's good. It's really scary. It's really scary.
Okay.
Next call.
Hey, Lindsay, Bobby. I am reading an Entertainment Weekly article about Eva Mendez. I don't know why. But she says, and I quote, I have such a short list of what I will do with four kids. Four kids? When did she have four kids? I thought she had two daughters. Does she have four kids? I can't find anything on the internet about these other two children. Do you know anything at all? Let me know. I genuinely can't find it. All right. Me and Grace. Kisses. Bye.
I was just going to make fun of this caller for not believing Eva Mendez about her own kids, but she doesn't have four kids.
She has two kids.
Two daughters, right? God, why do I know how many daughters she has? That's insane. Two daughters.
When Eva Mendez gets headlines, it's about her kids. It's about, you know, her, and kids, it's about Ryan Gosling. Ryan. It's about when are you going to start working again, you know, which is the question I keep asking. But we have two Eva Mendez calls.
Because you love Eva Mendez. Yeah, I know.
Her so. Well, I love Hitch. I know. I love Hitch so much.
Do you like Eva Mendez more than you like Ryan Gosling?
Oh my God. Oh, by a huge margin. Okay, don't you? Okay. You, no. Do you like Ryan Gosling?
Yeah. What's your problem? So?
Okay, no, I shouldn't judge. He just feels very, like, doesn't have to put in a lot of effort.
Oh my God, he's so funny, though. And he's also sexy. And he's also scary. He's a good actor. Yeah.
I like him. He's fine.
Okay.
I just really like Eva Mendez. Okay, so.
I like them as a couple. They're a little mysterious, and I respect it.
I respect it.
But I like them as a couple a lot.
The way you asked the question, which is, do you like her more than him, elicited, I think, an unfair response from me, because I don't hate Ryan Gosling. I just love Eva Mendez.
I know. So you're one of, but that was more my point in who are the people who are being like, Eva Mendez, when are you coming back to work again? And it's you. You're
it's
that.
It's me. Okay. I'm that person.
That's what I was wondering.
She's doing a lot of press lately, primarily for her Sponge brand, which we'll get into in a second. And in this press, she's talking about her kids. Everywhere else she's talked about her kids, in the past week, she refers to her two children, whom she shares with Ryan Gosling.
Yes, two girls.
She only says four in the Entertainment Weekly write-up of The View story. So Entertainment Weekly just misquoted what she said on The View. That's all this is.
Okay.
She will return to acting eventually, but in the meantime, she's doing this.
Hey, Lindsay, Bobby. I fell down a rabbit hole and landed on Eva Mendez's Instagram page. And it's been scrubbed of all posts. There are only four new posts on there from the last few days. And they're all spawn of Eva selling sponges, Scura-style sponges, and she's responding to people in the comments. Like somebody commented, even not to ask a crazy question, but would you be returning to Fast and Furious since it's the last in the installment of the franchise? And she wrote back, if they let me clean the cars with my at Scura style sponges, I will. what's going on? French fries.
Wait, so you're telling me Ava Mendez was like, I'm coming back. Here are some promo pics. All the Ava Mendez stans got riled up and fired up.
Yeah, including me. I like put on a nice shirt. I was like, I'm ready.
And then she said, I'm back because I'm selling sponges.
Let's quote the Daily Mail here. She's back! Exclamation mark. Ava Mendez, 48, returns to Instagram to promote kitchen sponges in paid partnership after a hiatus to spend time with her kids. She is the new co-owner and brand ambassador for Scura Style Sponges.
I cannot.
See, she found out during the pandemic that the sponge was the dirtiest place in her kitchen, and she was I do not accept this.
You know, you guys heard that thing years ago. It was like, your sponge is the dirtiest thing in your house. It's dirtier than your toilet. So I was like, what?
Yeah.
So I went on a sponge hunt. And I found Scura style sponges, right. Scura with a K. Mm. It's incredible antimicrobial, so it doesn't smell at all. But the genius of this innovative design is, you see this little monogram?
Yeah.
Once you start using it, it starts to fade, and it basically tells you when it's time to replace your sponge. So it does the thinking for you. It's a smart sponge. Oh. And I need all the help I can get because I got two kids, I got a dog, I got a man.
Mendez has acquired an equity stake in Scrubby Hub LLC, the parent company of Scura Style, and will serve as co-owner and brand ambassador of the Scura Style brand. Okay, so like she's obsessed with this fucking sponge.
Mm-hmm. I thought for a second it was like the type of sponge or like a reusable something where you could like throw it in the dishwasher or throw it in the washing machine or whatever. But no, they're still disposable, but they have some sort of coating on them that lets you know when they're like too dirty to be saved, like when it's beyond repair, and then you throw them away.
I gotta say, this is not an ad, but I love my sponge.
But don't you have a scrub mommy? Or do you have like a scrub uncle or something? There's like a new in middle point.
I have a scrub someone who has double sides. So it's like one side is scour and one side is sponge. And I love him. It's just a very durable sponge.
And you could put those in the dishwasher.
You could throw those, you know, in a helicopter. I don't know what would be. You could throw those anywhere. They're just very durable. They're just very durable and I like them. And they're not disposable.
I like that when they're hot, they're softer. And when they're cold, they're a little harder.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm a big fan of those.
Scrub Mommy is pink.
Yeah.
Scrub Daddy is yellow.
Uh-huh.
And then you have like, it does multiple things.
Yeah.
Sponges do hard things, according to Glennon Doyle.
I have the bisexual scrub.
I want my scrubber to be bisexual, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see. So there's Scrub Daddy Colors, which are the same Scrub Daddy, but they come in colors. And then there's Scrub Daddy Lemon Fresh, which has a smell. And then there's Scrub Mommy. Oh, you have the Mommy. Oh my God, that's the thing. Mommy does both. Mommy has a scrubber and a sponge.
Ugh, why does my scrub have to have a gender?
The way this is gendered is actually very traditionalist and bad because Mommy does two things. Like, Mommy does it all. Mommy sponges and scrubs. Daddy's just a big dumb oaf, and all he does is one thing. Yeah, this is actually fucked up. Oh, I don't know that I support the Scrub Mommy and Scrub Daddy brand anymore.
Oh, no, but I love the sponge. Okay, well, I'll need to take a long, hard look at my choices and see if I need to.
I'm going to have to buy some Scura style antimicrobial sponges. She's handing them out left and right. As the caller said, I have to read this in case you couldn't hear it. She only has, I think, since the caller called, she's put up more Instagram posts, but they're all related to sponges. And again, in a post about sponges, an Instagram commenter who goes by filmshow_ said, Ava, not to ask a crazy question, but would you be returning to Fast and Furious since it's the last installment of the franchise 6 days ago? Ava responds, @filmshow_, If they let me clean the cars with my Skura-style sponges, I will! Exclamation mark. 7 likes.
You know what's crazy about being famous? There's like this thing where if you use a product and you really like it, there's like somehow an 85% chance you could become a co-owner or like a creative director or like invest in it or like become a partner in the product. Like there's just this danger of like using something once and becoming so excited about it in a way there where like, knowing me, if I was that rich and famous, I would have so many dumb products because I would use something once and be so excited about it and like somehow become the ambassador and then have to like be a business partner, you know?
I'm at Target looking in the kitchen goods section and suddenly I notice that there's a new scrubber in the mix and it's a scrub Lindsay and I'm just like, oh no.
Like you can tell.
What did she do? What did she do?
You can tell that like this woman used this sponge once, you know, and got so excited about it and now it's literally... And it's literally like, welcome business partner Ava Mendez. What we learned about Ava is that she finds doing the dishes oddly exciting. And she was shocked to learn that her old kitchen sponge was the filthiest thing in her house. When Ava got her hands on Skura sponges, she was beyond intrigued. So we met during a pandemic. And it's clear from the beginning that we were sponge soulmates. After months of Zooming, Ava became a co-owner and our brand ambassador. Now she's going to be spreading Skura love everywhere and her passion for keeping it clean. It's like the danger of becoming this... is potent, you know?
It is. Although I wonder if this is the sort of like what is every A-list celebrity doing and even B and C-list celebrity doing? They're starting businesses. They're like, I make more money doing this, so why would I do that? Why would I act?
True.
Ava's sort of saying, why beat around the bush here? I'm just going to own a sponge company. This is going to be more lucrative for me.
I want a sponge, Lindsay. Oh, now you made me want to like get my own line of sponges.
What would a sponge Lindsay do? A sponge Lindsay would have like, to have...
It'd be like, do you like sponges, but you hate gender? Like, try a sponge Lindsay. We don't gender our sponges.
But and they work just as good
as the competitive brand. Well, they'd be sponge daddies and mommies, but they would just be not... You know what I mean? I'd rip them off fully. It would be a full... They could sue me, you know?
No, but they would have to have an extra element. It would have to be able to clean like a reusable straw. It would have to have the straw
cleaner.
Because
it's like good for the environment or whatever. Yeah,
it needs to do one extra thing because the other ones already do those things. So
no, I'm telling you, mine just would be not gendered, but it would be a total ripoff of Scrub Mommy and Scrub Daddy.
Scrub Lindsay.
Do you know what I mean? It would just be like, do you hate the patriarchy? Do you hate gender? Do you hate the system? Do you hate the man? Well, why use a sponge that supports all that shit? Use a sponge that's just a sponge, but it's a good sponge, you know?
Use a sponge that just supports Lindsay Weber. I'd use that sponge, right?
Yeah, anyways. I just can't believe you figured out my sponge is a sponge mommy.
Yeah, it's a sponge mommy. Because when I was like, oh, you have like the fancy sponge daddy, scrub daddy, because it does two things.
Yeah.
Sponges can do hard things.
It's the second time you've said
I can't stop thinking about it. Glennon Doyle really needs to do sponges before you get in the mix because she could make bank selling sponges that say sponges can do hard things on them.
Sponges could scrub hard things. I also am like... Ava Mendez is not doing her own dishes. She has a dishwasher. Like, get off my ass with that one, you know? Like, no, absolutely not.
There are certain things that always have to be hand washed, though. As Timmy points out, are Skura sponges safe to use on my discontinued Vita by Ava Mendez dishware? Because I'm sure you can't put those in the dishwasher. You have to use Skura sponges on those.
I like her dishware.
Her dishware is pretty.
Nice. It's pretty.
It is really pretty.
Okay, moving on.
Hey, Lindsay Bobby. Truly so sorry for this call, but it seems that Frankie Grande and Hale Grande got married at a, quote, small, intimate, galactic ceremony, end quote. Whatever. If you want to talk about it, feel free, but I would be remiss if I didn't call in about Frankie Grande getting married. Love you both. Good form, Bella Thorne. Crunch, crunch.
Hi, Bobby and Lindsay. Long time. I'm just calling to beg you to please do not talk about Jesse Williams' penis. And please do talk about Frankie Grande's secret Star Wars wedding. Crunch, crunch. Lindsay Podcaster.
Hi, Who Weekly, long time. Frankie Grande got married on May the 4th with a Star Wars-themed wedding. I don't think it gets hooier than that. Crunch, crunch. Bye.
I'm just like, choose a thing. You can't have everything.
His main thing is his sister. So it's like,
oh,
his main thing can't be his sister. So
mean. He can't,
it's not mean. It's the truth.
Well, he can't have an Ariana Grande-themed wedding.
His other main thing is gaming. So
his thing is fandom. That's the thing. It's like nerd. It's like geek.
And this is perfect. This is one of the most high profile fandoms.
I was like, what did Ariana Grande have to dress up as? And it turns out nothing. She didn't have to come in costume. She just came as like herself in a look.
She came in a Vera Wang look. She was like, oh, if I'm going to a wedding and I'm going to be photographed, it's still going to be Vera Wang.
She said, you want me to dress as a trooper, a star trooper, what's it called?
Stormtrooper.
You want me to come as a stormtrooper? Absolutely not. Where am I supposed to put my ponytail?
There's something vaguely Leia. Like, it's definitely Leia inspired in that it's like a bra top. You know? And also, they have a relationship where I'm like, I do believe that these two are close as hell and actually really like each other.
Oh, so Frankie and Ariana, of course, yeah, they are.
Like,
they literally,
I think that
have
she was so
many
thrilled to be
of
at
the
this
same
wedding.
Interests. Yeah, yeah, obviously.
Austin Swift and Taylor Swift, like, I'm not quite sure that they're on this level.
Yeah.
Also, the connection between Frankie Grande and Star Wars is long and storied and documented because there is a video that's 10 years old at this point from 2012, May 2012, of Ariana Grande and Frankie Grande doing a Twitter Live thing, singing or humming together the Star Wars theme song. I'll play it here.
There's so many layers to this family that I find fascinating. But yes, I mean, it also does feel like these two as a couple are genuinely as kind of like earnestly geeky in a way that like geeky used to be truly like every website was like Geek Spot, you know, like that was a thing that we loved and a culture that I think a lot of people really love and still love. I'm a nerd. I think that they're genuinely that way. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't really fake being a gamer in the way that these two have done it so far, right? Like,
no, I watch their Twitches. I know it's real.
The gay gamer community, as you're part of it. As a gay gamer, you recognize that you're part of that community.
I recognize and I appreciate them. Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
So if you're reading the People story on this with the headline, and again, Timmy pointed this out, and it's so true. Everything we know about this wedding, we know because of two Instagram posts. One of them is the one that Ariana posted of her dress.
Okay.
The other one is from Frankie Grande, who posted a carousel of photos and a caption filled with details of the wedding. So no one has done the interviews yet. We're basing everything off of these Instagram captions. But at the end of this People story, it says, the Titanic, the musical star, also shared a heartfelt message to husband Leon. I'm married to the man of my dreams. Our families have merged together so beautifully, and we are well on our way to happily ever after. I love you, Hail Grande. He took his name. I am
very
so
sweet.
Honored to be your husband.
I can't believe Hail gets to be a Grande. That is absolutely a stunning turn of events.
That's the final great fact. But if you rewind a little bit and forget the fact that Hail Leon is now Hail Grande.
And that Frankie Grande is starring in an off-Broadway parody of Titanic called Titanic.
No, that's the thing that you do want to see. He's starring in Titanic the Musical.
which is an off-Broadway
production called Titanic the Musical. And he's playing Victor Garber / Luigi. And I assume that Luigi is a parody of Francesco? Right?
Wait, I thought it was like Luigi, like Mario and Luigi, and somehow like it's like Super Mario
Maybe
Brothers.
He's actually like Luigi the plumber, but parodying Francesco. I can see the Statue of Liberty from here. It's very small, of course. That's who he's parodying, right? Because he is famously an Italian man.
This is really not shady, but I guess it's going to come off shady because I'm saying that before I say what it is. Frankie Grande is like the only recognizable name in this off-Broadway parody of Titanic. Why is he playing like 14th billed? Like, Victor Garber is not a big character in the original Titanic.
No, but he is a gay icon in the original Titanic.
Why? Because he's gay in real life?
Yeah. He's like the gay actor in Titanic.
Okay, oh, great.
Do you want to see Titanic together? The limited run begins June 14th at the Asylum in NYC. Someone did. Either you or Timmy signed me up for alerts for this.
It's clearly Timmy.
I can't wait to get emails about Titanic the musical.
Mine is, there's something incredibly bleak about the news of Wicked the movie coming side by side in his stories as his run in a Titanic parody musical. That was my contribution to this.
Right, because Ariana Grande is starring as Elphaba in the Wicked movie alongside right. Cynthia Erivo, and Frankie Grande is starring as Victor Garber slash Luigi in the off-Broadway yes. production of Titanic the musical.
If you can't see what's going on there, you're not looking hard enough. I love that. I love that everybody's doing their thing.
I will see this. That'll be the second Titanic-themed stage production I'll have seen during the pandemic.
The first one's back at the Brick for a limited limited run in the fall. Never let me go. It's at the Brick in New York. You could see these both back to back and have a real hell of a time.
Hi, Lindsay Bobby. Can you please explain to me who James Cromwell is and why he glued his hand to a Starbucks counter in New York? Live and La Vida laptop.
All right. James Cromwell. This is from CNN.com. Jordan Valinsky. I know Jordan Valinsky. James Cromwell superglued his hand to a Starbucks counter to protest vegan milk charges. James Cromwell, one of the stars in Succession, superglued himself to a counter of a Starbucks in New York protesting the chain's surcharge on vegan milks. The incident, which happened Tuesday, was a protest coordinated with PETA. I did not know that, but it makes so much sense. Cromwell is a longtime supporter of the group and serves as honorary director. Starbucks charges roughly 70 cents extra for dairy alternative, which includes soy, coconut, almond, and oat milks, depending on the city. They recently dropped the surcharge at its UK stores. Okay, I gotta say, sometimes I agree with PETA, and this is one of those times. No more surcharges for vegan milk. Fuck that.
Vegan milk should be cheaper. Cow milk should be more expensive.
Milk should be expensive.
It's a problem that I love whole milk, okay? It's a problem for the environment that I love whole milk.
Right, you should charge me more. A real Starbucks, like, flex would be like, we're not surcharging for the vegan milks, we're surcharging for milk. Wouldn't that fuck up the system? Duncan would never dare.
What did PETA say to Sierra earlier today? You sent me the line of the thing. Oh, it says, the Animal Rescue Org also uses some Sierra song references in calling out Russ. So Russell Wilson, I'm assuming.
Well, you know how they say adopt, don't shop. She adopted, and PETA said, oh, we're going to 1-2-step into a press release to shame you.
They actually said, Russell made a 1-2-step mistake by killing a shelter dog's chances of finding a home. PETA is calling on the couple to level up on kindness by adopting a companion for the pup instead of fueling the homeless animal crisis.
PETA loves to be absurd. Speaking of, they got James Cromwell to glue himself to a Starbucks. Not the weirdest thing that's ever happened in a New York City Starbucks, I gotta say.
I just think it's funny that James Cromwell could successfully glue himself to a Starbucks counter before Kelly Osbourne could successfully pee in one.
You know? Oh, I forgot about that. I'm telling
you. Kelly, you could have used a little bit of effort.
New York City Starbucks have seen some of the weirdest things. James Cromwell super gluing himself to one is like literally on the bottom
of... Low on the list.
Yeah.
Low on the list.
Yeah.
But I don't think PETA had to like goad him into doing this. James Cromwell, I think best known to our audiences for being Succession and Babe. That'll do, Pig.
No, That'll do, Pig. I don't know him in Succession. I don't know Succession. So he's That'll Do, Pig.
He has been an activist for basically as long as he's been an adult. So This is going back to the 60s. He was an activist during the civil rights movement. He supported the Black Panthers. He hated the Vietnam War.
You could say that James Cromwell's on the right side of history. And I agree. Yes. I agree. Like he's on the right side of history with protesting surcharges for vegan milk. That does suck. That absolutely sucks. People should be encouraging you to use vegan milk and nut milk alternatives. Like that should be like a coffee shop should say like it's cheaper for you to use this. Yes. But unfortunately, I think those milks are more expensive, which also is a huge problem.
My coffee shop leaves them all out for. I think that's great. Leaves them all out for pouring.
That's really
like
nice.
The self serve, oat, almond. Skim, they're all there next to each other, free flowing.
Yeah.
Cromwell glued his hand, I'm quoting NPR now. Cromwell glued his hand to the counter and then later used a knife to scrape it off. Police said there were no arrests.
Ouch.
He supports animals, he supports civil rights, and he still acts. I think that's kind of the coolest thing about him. He's doing it all at the same time. He didn't stop acting.
That'll do, Pig. That'll do.
And that'll do for this segment. Lindsay, what is Rakuten? Tell everyone. I have Rakuten. I'm looking at it right now in my browser, but explain. You're good at explaining what Rakuten is because you love it.
It's the smartest way to save money when you shop. Duh. No, it's. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it is, but I'm not really telling you what it is. That's what it does. It knows where you're shopping. It says, here's how to save money. It gives you cash back for all types of stores because Rakuten is the smartest way to save money when you shop because members get cash back at over 3,500 stores across every category, including fashion, beauty, electronics, home essentials, travel, dining, and more.
Your favorite stores like Dyson, Samsung, or Nike pay Rakuten a commission for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the commission with its members. That's you. Cashback is deposited directly into your PayPal account, or Rakuten can send you a check. The choice is yours. Lindsay likes the PayPal account. I'm sort of into a paper check. I like that idea. You can even maximize your savings by stacking cashback on top of other deals like store sales and coupons. So shop for everything from fashion to beauty, home decor to groceries, even kids' school supplies. You're already shopping at your favorite store, so why not save while you're doing it? It's a no-brainer, and membership is free and easy to sign up.
Get the Rakuten app now and join the 17 million members who are already saving. Cashback rates change daily. See Rakuten.com for details. That's Rakuten. Your cashback really adds up.
Who Weekly is brought to you by Squarespace. As usual, we love Squarespace.
We love Squarespace.
It's the only way we will ever have a website.
Is Squarespace. You're right. Because it's easy. Because I can update it very fast when things go crazy with tour announcing, which we might have to do relatively soon. You said, we just came and saw you. I said, well, this is a 365 podcast. We're planning ahead.
Everyone's doing live shows these days. So all the venues are getting booked up. So we have to book our tour, which is far away, pretty soon. But we already know the dates. We're ready to update the website on Squarespace.
And we also already know how to put them on the website, which is like half the battle because it's Squarespace.
Exactly.
And we've done this for a long time and it's very, very easy.
We love Squarespace because it's very easy to update things. We love Squarespace because we have a contact form, which is the way most people get in touch with us. Even though we have a very easy to remember email address, which is whatsritaupto@gmail.com, people would prefer to just use the contact form on Squarespace because Squarespace is easy. And on our website, it's easy to find our press clippings. It's easy to find embeds of the podcast. It's easy to find anything you need to know about our podcast. So go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch your website, go to squarespace.com/who to save 10% on your first purchase of a website or domain.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. Long time. I am going to need you guys to talk about Eurovision because it is next week. And the rehearsals were this week. And it's been like kind of a mess. Anyways, I love to get your thoughts. Okay, Lindsay and Bezler. Love you, bye.
It's that time of year again. Mika is hosting the Eurovision contest of 2022 in Turin. Did you know Mika's hosting?
I did know Mika's hosting. I miss Mika, sort of.
Do you? Great song.
I mean, I was very charmed by Mika when Mika was very famous.
Me too. I love Mika's that song. Great. The I Could Be Brown, that one?
Yeah, and also the Love Today.
He's been hosting The Voice and other things like that so regularly in Europe. Like, he still like maintains a very significant amount of fame there. Yeah. And so he's hosting Eurovision, which is a great thing. It's in Italy. We're not going, which is a bummer. And the slogan is The Sound of Beauty, which is interesting. Not quite like sure what that means.
Good evening, Europe. Buonasera, Europa. Buenas tardes, Europa. Bonsoir, Europe. Kalispera, Europe. How do you say Europe? Wie geht's, Europe? Guten Abend, Europe. Kalispera, Europi. Buonanotte, Europe. Merembrema, Europe.
Before we get into Eurovision, really quickly, the Pale Imitation American Song Contest finally announced a winner this week, and it was Alexa, a K-pop star from Oklahoma.
And it turns out it was the one episode I watched she premiered on. She performed on the first episode ever of America's Song Contest.
Yeah. Alexa won, and that's cool, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about Eurovision, which has nothing to do with us. It has nothing to do with us.
But it has nothing to do with us.
It has everything to do with us.
It is happening this weekend. By the time you listen to this, the second night of semifinals will have happened, so we will know who was competing in the finals. We're recording this on Thursday morning, a few hours before they start performing.
Oh, I got to turn that on. Thank you for reminding me. I should just turn that on and let it run.
It's streaming live on Peacock. We're not going to speak to the final 10. We're just going to speak to our favorites because that's more fun. If you want the expert stuff, go to Pop Bitch, go to the Eurovision podcast. Just watch it. It's so much fun.
The Eurovision podcast is called Euro What? And Pop Bitch has an amazing guide with lots of funny jokes and lots of funny references. We're just going to give you like our fave stuff that made us laugh, who we're rooting for this year. I mean, mm-hmm. Eurovision is kind of like a hooey arm of Who Weekly. It's like we talk about Lifetime movies and we talk about Eurovision because we absolutely love it. And I love paying attention to it for like 2 weeks before it exists and then the day of and then never again until the next year.
I just like that, like, inherently it's not really supposed to reverberate outside of choosing who hosts the following year. So it's totally fine that you sort of slide in and you slide out and you don't have to retain anything really.
Well, you retain a history. You retain a vague sort of historical, like, you know who's won in the past few years. Yeah. You know, like, what you know the trend of the sounds, which I love. You know, like, you know that Iceland had this like big viral hit with this silly song a few years ago that they then had to replace because of the pandemic shut down the first attempt. And that's why every single song that's silly sounds like that song. Like, that's interesting to me.
What I mean is usually the artists themselves don't maintain a presence in pop culture outside of, which is kind of a weird anomaly, last year, Måneskin.
Yeah.
Måneskin just became kind of a phenomenon and released other hits. So usually they're kind of one-hit wonders or they slowly move on to do their thing. You will notice this in Eurovision promo where it's like, launch the careers of ABBA and Celine Dion because that's kind of all they have. Those are their big success stories.
Sure, but I do feel like they're famous. They're successful over there. They make a ton of money. It's almost like the crowned Miss America. You kind of hear that she's going on a world tour and then you never hear from her again. But she's out there on a world tour.
She's out there. And it's like a Bachelor Nation where they always, like, the guy from England, what's his name? Sam Bird or something. He just posted a photo with Conchita Wurst, you know?
Yeah, like, they're
Eurovision,
like, always
icon.
Around. They get to come back to the show. They get to represent. They get to maybe host. Conchita hosted a few years ago. I don't know. It's a fun culture. It's a fun world. And I love it. And every year, I feel like I have a little bit more information about it.
And I think it's fun because you don't necessarily need information to have a good time when you're watching it. You can just swing on in out of context at Lindsay's house on Saturday and yeah. have a good time, you know? You don't have to know the details. But if you want to know our favorites, let's give our top five and let's alternate because I think our top fives are going to be very different.
We'll give our faves and then we'll kind of go over quickly who's favored, which is like, this is like a big bookie event where there are odds. All the good bookbinders have their lists of who they think's going to win. And mm-hmm. it's kind of a funny thing to compare what your faves are to what the faves are or what, mm-hmm. you know, what the favorites are. Okay. Do you want to go first? Backwards? Are you going forwards?
I'm
going
to go 5-1. So... Before I give my number five, I have to say I have a six because it was so hard for me to cut this woman out, but I have to mention her because she's so hilarious to me and this song is so funny. Emma Muscat. Emma Muscat, who is from Malta.
Yeah.
She is part of like an extremely rich Maltese family and she's like on her own, according to Pop Bitch, worth $80 million.
They're like, she's a millionaire.
She's a millionaire. She's so rich.
Her song is so bad.
Her song I love because it reminds me of Rachel Platten. And I was joking to Lindsay, before I play it. Okay, I'm going to play it. I'm going to play this clip. And then I'm going to play the clip of this part. This is my master plan. I'm going to take a stand. Take it or leave it. I am what I am.
Take it or leave
it. It makes me laugh because I'm like, if Hillary runs in 2024, she's going to use this song.
No, it's like Dr. Seuss Girl Boss. Like, I am what I am, and I am what I am, and if I am something, it is what I am. Like,
you know I love, like, booming artifice.
It's
I
so
love it.
Bad.
I love booming artifice. No, okay. My actual number five.
That's your number six.
That's my number six. I just had to make a joke because that woman, I wanted to keep her in five, but I couldn't in good conscience actually call her my top five. My actual number five is from the great country of Greece, Amanda Georgiadis, Tien Fjord, Die Together.
Together now. So I have her as my number four. Oh. So I just wanted to note that so we don't repeat. Okay. Yeah. This song is about dying in a car crash and at least you get to die together, which is funny for many reasons. Usually these songs are about kind of like national pride and kind of like doing fun things that you love, you know, or love, or just things that are very vague gibberish. Almost. Mm-hmm. Right. This is about dying in a car crash with your lover. It's just very specific for Eurovision in terms of like what I, or they're about nonsense. You know what I mean? And this one is about, this one is more of a song that you would just hear on somebody's album, maybe. It's kind of good.
I genuinely like it. I also think that it's interesting because she grew up in Norway and then like moved to Greece and then moved back to Norway. So it's funny that she has this like extremely close relationship with both countries. But she's representing Greece.
It's also interesting that Greece often enters like very heritage forward songs. And this one could not be any less Greek. And I'm excited for our friend, fellow podcaster George Severus, who is Greek and is apparently showing up to this contest blind. I'm excited for him to see who's representing his country.
Oh my God. I thought you were going to say dressed entirely in blue and white or something like that.
No, but he's going to lose it when he sees like this song. Like it's just not. I hope you played some of it already. It's just it's mind boggling.
Okay, Lindsay, what's your five?
Okay, so my number five is Ukraine.
Oh, good song.
I know that they're favored.
They're favored to win.
They're favored to win. Yeah.
For geopolitical reasons, obviously.
Well, for multiple reasons, but also I think the song is good. Yeah, the song is good.
It's my number three.
And they were good last year, too. It's the Kalush Orchestra, and the song is called Stefania, and it's fun.
Lindsay and I were talking about this last night. It's I hate when I say that on the podcast. You don't give a shit that we were talking about this last night.
Or do they?
I'm just falling for the types of music that I typically fall for, which is like power pop, like a very sad ballad, stuff like that. But there's one like local song. A lot of the fun at Eurovision, especially being at Eurovision, is the stuff that sounds like it's so special and from the country of origin, where you're like, oh, that's what I'm doing here. Like,
yes, that's why my number one is what it is.
The Ukrainian song is like definitely a celebration of Ukraine and definitely not the sort of thing that you could just get out of a Swedish pop writer, you know?
For this song and for my number two, which I'll get to, you go into the comments of the YouTube and everyone's saying like, when you go to a wedding in this country, this is the kind of music that people love and hear and dance to and enjoy. And this is so wonderful, et cetera, et cetera. And like every year,
that's
people go local, people go big pop, and like sometimes you're swayed to once. And the idea is to make it accessible, though. Like, I think it's like what you want to do is do like local music,
accessible
but make
locality.
It accessible to the world, if that makes sense.
No,
like that I can tell that it's fun, that I have a good time listening to it. I mean, I think Moldova does this more successfully, and that's why they're at my number two. We'll get there. But I like Ukraine. Okay, who's next for you?
My number four, we're going to Belgium.
What the fuck was Belgium? Oh.
Belgium is sung by this guy, Jeremy Maquiez, and he is Belgian. He won The Voice Belgium. That's the fun fact about this guy.
Sure, sure, sure. They're all from The Voice.
And I'm gonna play this song here. He just won last year on The Voice, and this could be on the radio here. That's fun to sing along with.
You love a song that has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 songwriters on it.
I do.
You do.
Look, I've been conditioned to like songs with multiple songwriters, and that's fine.
You
but
have been.
I really like this guy. If it's a song that can get the crowd going, like there was a song that instantly got cut out of the contest that went viral, and it was Latvia's song, and it's about eating pussy.
Well, it's actually not about eating pussy. It's about eating your vegetables. It's called Eat Your Salad. It's by Siti Zeni. It's Latvia. It got kicked out already, and they clearly were gunning to go viral, which they did, because the first line is like, for breakfast I eat veggies and pussy. You can play it. I mean, I'm not even getting it right.
Instead of meat, I eat veggies and pussy.
But what's funny is, like, the intent to, like, go viral was more important to them than even getting on the finale, which they are not
on. They did
not
make the finale. They did not make the finale. The song that did make the finale that is also all about going viral is Norway's song about the wolf eating the banana.
I don't like that at all. People suspect, though, they're masked, and people think that this Norway wolf song, which is very silly, and honestly, I think it's bad, but whatever, they think that they are the same group that created the What Does Ylvis. The Fox Say, which was a Norwegian comedy duo called Ylvis that went viral and had nothing to do with Eurovision, I don't think. It was just this viral song that, like, got on the charts.
Ducks they quack and fish go blub and the seal goes ow, ow, ow. But there's one sound that no one knows.
Before I go to my number three, I also have one that I want to give an honorable mention. I totally forgot because I don't think that you have them on your list. And I feel like we have to mention Stripper, which is like...
Oh, they're not on my list. No.
So San Marino is like one of my favorite countries to root for because they always give something insane. And this year they looked at the winner from last year, Måneskin, and they said, we can do that too. So they entered this guy named Akil Lauro. And he is singing a song called Stripper. And he's like covered in tattoos. He's like super... But it's almost like Måneskin like done like wrong, which is actually quite charming, you know?
I don't know.
San Marino's always good.
They just will never win. It's so cute. They're like, we're here to slay. Okay. And my number...
Big slay.
My number three, which I suspect is on your list too, is the Mahmood song.
Ugh. My number two. It's my number two.
Brevidi.
Mahmood, you might recognize Mahmood because he was in 2019 Eurovision. He also should've represented
won.
Italy then. He
should have won.
Soldi. Yeah, I think my favorite song of that year, for sure.
Should have won.
Soldi, he's like extremely hot and he's extremely good. And they brought him back because they were like, maybe he'll win this time. But Italy's already won. So like, Italy's not going to win again.
Italy won last year, but people are kind of saying like, LMAO, Italy came to play. Because sometimes when you're hosting, you kind of like don't come to play. You just come to like be funny.
They brought out like, the big guns. They brought out Mahmood.
But this song is good.
Song is great.
Is this on your list? What number was that on
your list?
It's
on my list. It's number two. And my number three is Stefania from Ukraine. Number two is Brividi from Italy. Should I just give you my number one? Because haven't you given your two and three as well?
No, I have one and two left. You give me your number one.
Okay, my number one is... We haven't talked about this because I was like, can you guess what my number one is? Based on hearing all the Eurovision songs and knowing my taste... What is my number one Eurovision song? I mean, by such a huge margin, it's not even funny.
Wait, really?
Oh my God, it's my number one favorite.
Is it Slow Mo by Chanel?
No.
Is it the Australian one?
No,
is it Ireland's That Rich? That's Rich?
No.
Wait, what is it?
It's this.
I'm already like, I'm dreading what it is. Oh, it's a Swedish pop banger.
My raspy Swedish queen, Cornelia Jacobs.
Oh my God, these songs are so... They always submit a song that is just like...
She's favored.
Yeah.
She's favored.
Mm-hmm.
She has a 9% winning chance.
Mm-hmm. No, she is. She's four.
Ukraine's going to win. Sweden's person from like 2 years ago, Too Late for Love, is still one of my favorite Eurovision songs.
I know. It's a good
John
song.
John Lundvik.
That's a good song.
Too Late for Love was unbelievable.
Okay, so I went the full opposite as you, which is like...
Locals.
Should be expected. My number two and number one are stunning. Number two is a little bit more local. We've got the... It's so local, I can't even pronounce the name correctly. I'm going to try my best. It's Zadob, C. Zadub, and the Advahov brothers. And the song is called Trenuletul, and it's about being on a train, and it's so fun, and the video is so great. It's like a dancing celebration
of trains.
I love it. It is the most Balkan fucking music ever, and it is so fucking fun. Okay, you're gonna die. My number one, clearly. Have you seen the video where the freak is washing her hands on stage and the whole song is about being clean and being healthy?
Yes, I love her.
My number one is the legend. The song is actually good. The legend, Constructa. She's from Serbia and the song is in Kopore Sano, which means like for your health. The song is called In a Healthy Body. The staging is her washing her hands. It is going to be one of the most iconic performances. It's literally catchy. The chorus goes, she has to be healthy, be healthy, she has to be healthy, be healthy, be healthy, be healthy, she has to be healthy. It's such a fortune that the autonomic nervous system exists, so I don't have to control my heartbeats, because the heartbeats, it beats on its own.
I was gonna read that lyric. Isn't I love that beautiful? Lyric so much. I
That's
love
the
it.
Lyrics. What is the secret behind Meghan Markle's healthy hair? What could it be? What could be the secret? I think the secret is hydration. As they say, one skin and hair reveals everything clearly. For example, dark circles around eyes point out to liver issues. Dark spots around lips might mean you have an enlarged spleen. An enlarged spleen is not good, not pretty. Those are the lyrics to this song. I mean, obviously they're in Serbian. They're not in English, but I don't even care. It is so good, and the song is catchy, and I don't get it, and I love it. Sorry, I love it.
Are there any other Eurovision songs you want to shout out before we end? I do. Actually, there is one I want to shout out. Fuck the UK song. Sam Ryder. He's a TikTok star that went viral during the early days of the pandemic when everyone was looking to TikTok for the like 90% of their entertainment. And he sings covers of songs, and he became famous for singing covers of songs. And he has a very good voice. But this song, for it to be considered as the number two favorite on all of the like betting websites, is abhorrent to me. It's so bad. Go from Ukraine to this, at least throw Italy up at number two. Come on, awful. Sweden.
Yeah.
It's awful. I'm sure I played a clip.
The other
there.
One I want to point out, and I feel like it's really funny, is have you heard Israel?
I thought I would like that song and I did not like it. No. His name is like Michael David.
Michael Ben David. Sometimes when you hear sounds, you're just like, wow, this is like somebody creating like a lasagna made of all the different ingredients of like what popular music has been in the past few years or whatever. So I just like, I love hearing that. And the other one I love, but like obviously is the Finland one. A band called Jezebel.
No, the song is called Jezebel.
Oh,
the band,
the band
Rasmus.
Is called The Rasmus.
I love that song. That was in my short list.
I don't think we'll get another like rock winner though. Mm-hmm. Just my guess. I think we'll get a pop winner. And then the last one I want to mention, which I brought her up because I thought she was your fave because she's so bad, is That's Rich from Ireland. Have you heard this song?
Yeah, Brooke. I like that song. I like that song. I like that video more than I like the song. And I like Brooke more than I like the song. Hey, stupid, that's rich. When it's coming from you and that's rich. Well, I got nothing to prove. I cannot think of our time at Eurovision 2018 without thinking of this song. This song will haunt me until my dying days. This is the song I had to fake stan throughout the entire Eurovision weekend, where I was like, no, this is my number one, sorry. Okay, and that's how you end a show. So thank you to all the callers for calling in for our dumb little Eurovision show. Listen to Euro What for more Eurovision news. Download the Pop Bitch Guide to Eurovision and print it out like Lindsay and I did. So whenever you watch it this weekend on Saturday, you've got all the information at your fingertips.
Yes.
Thank you to Katie and Eric of The Who's for providing our Rita theme song. Thank you to Timmy, our research and editorial assistant, for researching and assisting. Thanks to all the callers who call in at 619-WHO-THEM to leave questions, comments, and concerns. Thanks to all the patrons, patreon.com/WHOweekly for bonus episodes and a whole lot more. And we'll see you on Tuesday. Have a great weekend. Bye.
Bye. They want to know. Hey. Yeah. Hey. Yeah. Yeah. Use a sponge that's just a sponge, but it's a good sponge.
Use a sponge that just supports Lindsay Weber.
Justice for Top Gun. That is my mom's favorite movie. I've probably seen it 1,000 times. I have no words. I can't believe that was Bobby's reaction. I'm shaken to my core. Whew. Tits out, Cassiopeia.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. Bobby is right. Top Gun sucks shit. Crunch, crunch.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. I have no idea who you're talking about right now on the episode, but I'm like 90% sure that it's Ashlyn and not Aisling. Aislinn. Again, totally could be wrong, though. Crunch, crunch. Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. I just called you, and I definitely called you too soon. If I had waited another 30 seconds, I would have seen that you figured it out and corrected the name. Sorry. Crunch, crunch. Bye.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. I know you're probably getting a million calls about this, but the Irish name that you guys keep saying is Aisling is pronounced Ashley. All right. Bye. Hi. I just paused the pod and called about Ashley, and then 1 second later, after I clicked it again, you corrected it. Sorry to be a dick. Love you guys. Bye.
Hi, Weekly. So I was hearing you guys talk about this, like, the Cole Schaefer writing program, and I was like, it honestly made me so mad because I guess in theory it's not a bad idea, but I just don't like the way he's going about it, and so I thought I would give some airtime to a program that is free and, like, that has done wonders for me as a writer, Jamie Attenberg. She's a novelist. She has a Substack, and she has a program every June called 1,000 Words a Day. It's every day for 2 weeks. There's, like, a Slack channel you can join. It's super supportive. She also emails you every day with, like, not quite a prompt, but something else to hold you accountable, and she's not charging $300. So go support Jamie Attenberg's 1,000 Words a Day. It's a really incredible community. It helped me finish, like, a pilot that was successful, I guess. So, yeah, like, I didn't hate Cole Schaefer before, but I really don't like him now. Crunch, crunch.
Hi, Bobby. Hi, Lindsay. I have nothing to ask or report on. Long time, but I just had to pause the pod when you guys were talking about the Elvis trailer. Because I've watched that trailer, like, I don't know, like 6 times, like, just on my little iPhone. And I guess I need to go to the movies and watch it, because I think I'm not usually attracted to celebrities. I don't know what it is. Or even who people. But I think Austin Butler is so incredibly sexy. And I, like, cannot wait to see this movie. Am I a freak? I don't know if it would be possible to do a a sing-along or watch-along, maybe when it comes out on the Amazon Prime, but please, if I can request, please do a watch-along just to talk about, you know, to talk about it. And Austin Butler is so hot. Vanessa Hudgens is an idiot. And COVID is still real and happening. And I have to fly on a plane soon, and I'm going to be putting on my huge, real, like, big N95. Oh, my God. Okay, bye.